Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to episode number 573 of Smart Podcast Trashy Books. I'm Sarah Wendell. My guest today is Amanda, and we are talking about romance conferences. We're talking about what we miss about RT and RWA and what our ideal book-focused conferences would look like. Plus, we mention a few new conferences in case you're looking for a local one. I will have links to all of the things we talk about, including different episodes, past episodes, past reviews, and the conferences we mention in the show notes at smartbitchestrashybooks.com/podcast. I also want to apologize for the state of my voice. I have a touch of laryngitis, so I figure either I sound really, really great, or you're wondering what happened to my voice. Well, hopefully it'll come back. I want to say hello and thank you to our Patreon community. Every pledge keeps me going, keeps the show going. Make sure that every episode has a transcript from Garlic Knitter. Hey, Garlic Knitter. If you would like to join, it would be superbly awesome if you did. You can go to patreon.com/smartbitches. Monthly pledges start at $1. And Patreon members get bonus episodes, a truly delightful Discord full of good pictures and bad jokes. And, well, you help support the show. So thank you so very much for your support. And this is going to be a short intro, partially because this is probably about as much as my voice can do. Let's start this podcast on with me and Amanda talking about conferences.
So I recently did a bonus episode. It was actually an unexpected bonus episode because I did an interview with Robin Bradford because she wrote a book about Reader's Advisory for Romance in Libraries.
But
we started by talking about conferences and specifically RT. And she's been going to conferences for a really, really long time. But we were talking about, remember the early days of RT when you would come home with a literal suitcase full of books?
Or you'd have to make use of like the mail.
The mail
room
in the library. Oh, there was a line out the door at the FedEx in the hotel because they just had too many books. And it was weird how fast that stopped, right? Like you used to go to RT and there would be 3 books on the table at breakfast, 4 books on the table at lunch, whoever.
The free book room.
The free
room. You can pick 4 books.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I remember 1 year I went to the book room because you only got 1 entry into the book room and everyone tried to go early. But then I realized some people bring their stuff later so they can like add their stuff after.
And they like refill it, you know, as people pick it over.
And this was so long ago. I went in and someone was like, would you like some audiobooks on tape or on CD because we have them and no one's taking them and I don't want to bring them back. And I ended up taking them. I had some like Susan Elizabeth Phillips novels on cassette. So this was clearly outdated and some CDs and I gave them away. People were really excited.
Well, audiobooks are expensive in general.
Audiobooks are very expensive. And I remember driving and trying to change the cassette while I was driving listening to a 10-hour audiobook. It was not optimal. But I was thinking like it's June, July. In past years, I would have gone to RT sometime in April, May, and then I would be looking at RWA in late July. And those were like the start and the end of conference season. Sometimes I would go to ALA. There used to be some book tech conferences like Tools of Change in Publishing that I went to a couple of years. But the two that were like the anchors of my year were RT and RWA. And neither of them are really options for me anymore. RT doesn't exist and I'm not a member of RWA anymore. But I was thinking, there are things I don't miss, but I miss the feeling of being in a hotel surrounded by people who are all there to talk about books with you.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Same with like book events. I'm like, there's an energy.
There really that is.
That's unmatched by, you know, anything else or any attempts to replicate it in a, you know, social distancing or online only format.
Yes. And there's something different between doing an event about a book where you're all going to talk about the book, especially if it's an author who does good events and like involves the audience in what they're doing. And then a conference where everyone's spending the night. Like, what are some of your favorite like RT or RWA memories?
So one thing I always looked forward to is seeing the decorations. Who is going to be plastered on the elevator.
How many nipples on the elevators. So if whoever is listening has not ever seen this, I would say this was probably in the first time I saw this, when you could wrap the walls of the elevator, put these giant clings on the door, put things on the wall. I think that was like right after 50 Shades was popular.
Yeah.
Because I remember seeing a lot of, is it Jodi Ellen?
Malpas.
I remember seeing some of her books, like the window was covered with giant book covers, like giant window clings.
I loved the people who sponsored the room key cards, and you would get
a little book cover.
Like cover models or like a book cover. Just seeing like that is wild. Because it really made, I don't know, like me feel that this is like our community for the weekend.
Yes.
Not like we were being kind of like shuffled into like the conference area where no one was going to see us.
No.
It was like, no, this entire hotel now has cover models floor to ceiling.
Yep.
And guests will just have to do.
So random people who are on a business trip or stopping on vacation are like, why are there shirtless men covering all of the, and it was both doors. So you would like get the door to slide open left and right or close and you'd see like the whole cover there. I got to watch them install it. It was like the biggest fruit roll up you ever saw. you remember when you'd peel the fruit roll up and go, shh. Yeah. So they put that up and they just kind of shh all the way down. It was just like a big man titty fruit roll up. I think that's the title of this episode, Big Man Titty Fruit Roll Up. Let me write that down.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it takes fruit by the foot to a different meaning.
It really does.
and I think like seeing everybody like getting together with like you and Elise, like that's like the one time or two times a year where we would all be in the same place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we've had more reviewers come on since then. And I wish we had a reason to do that with like the current group of people, because like, you know, I want Shayna to experience the craziness of a romance con. I want Tara to experience, like, I would love to be there and be with everybody and have them have that experience, because it is such a very surreal.
Oh, it was so surreal, especially RT. RT was like, if there was somebody new, I used to like take them aside and be like, okay, let me explain how this works. let me explain here. But like, I know that people have these wonderfully interesting and thoughtful answers for like, what would you do if there's time travel? And now I'm like, no, I would just take all the reviewers from the site and we'd go back to like RT, maybe like the year after Pittsburgh when the hotel was actually finished as opposed to under construction. That was terrible. But like way back in the day, like Alora's Cave used to like have their own events. Heather Graham would have a dinner.
I remember when Alora's Cave had a booth at Book Expo America.
No.
And they had cover models running the booth. And I've been to Book Expo America several times. You know, Javits Center is a hellmouth. We've all know it. But
I have to pee and I'm thirsty just thinking about it. Like the minute you say Javits Center, my mouth is dry and I have to pee. Like it's just.
Oh, I don't know if Allure's Cave didn't care.
I'm certain that is a large portion of the motivation there.
That was not like a reading the room of like BEA is not the place to have shirtless cover models working your table.
I mean,
like,
it was memorable. Not... Maybe it was. But the thing is, BEA is for booksellers and librarians. It's not for that was before the Allure's Cave was before they had reader BookCon. Days at BEA and they had BookCon.
Because like, would I have ever rode a mechanical bull in my life? No, but there was one at RT one year, and I thought, why not?
Was that Reno? Was that Reno with the mechanical bull?
That was Dallas.
That makes sense.
Well, Reno was the time where you, me, and Elise went to a dispensary.
Oh my God.
And then recorded a podcast while high, and it was like 2 hours long and had to be cut down.
I had never been to a dispensary, and I don't know if you remember this, but I dressed up, I put on lipstick, I was like, I'm going shopping, and...
You took the lead. You were like, I got this.
I found the place. I got the Uber. I put on nice clothes and a lipstick. And I was like all ready to, you know, and I'm like, I could have rolled in my morning flip-flops and yoga pants and the clothes I wear to go get coffee before I want anyone to see me. Like it did not matter. But I was dressing up to go to the dispensary because I was very excited about it. And we got edibles and we recorded this episode. And we were in my suite. That was the other thing. That hotel was ridiculous. I think it was a Peppermill. So I've told you about the Yiddish word ongipachket, right? It means like overly decorated, tastelessly tacky. That was my room. I had coral marble in the bathroom with black glossy accents.
Was that the same hotel that might have been, I don't know if that was Reno, Las Vegas, where like no, some people didn't have a coffee maker. Some people didn't have trash cans.
Oh, I think that was Vegas. I think that was
Vegas.
That was the Reno.
It was either Reno or Vegas.
The Reno Hotel, the Peppermill was very big, but very nice. The Rio was a trash fire. That was, people got Legionnaires at the Rio.
Yeah, because the entire first floor was a casino where you could smoke.
Yeah, so you had to leave the hotel and then walk through the smoky casino and then walk another 3/4 of a mile down to the conference center.
Yeah.
Somebody from the RT staff who used to work there clocked from their room to the conference, and it was 1.8 miles each way.
It was long.
Walking. It was a lot of walking. And there was only one Starbucks. But
poor Starbucks.
We recorded that episode, and I edited it.
I'll find it.
And
it's
I was
404 or something.
I'm so impressed that you remember. I would just have to look at my spreadsheet. but I was like, this is really weird. I don't know if anyone's going to like this. So I made Adam listen to it. I sent him the MP3. And he used to go out and play trivia, bar trivia with local friends. And sometimes he'd be driving to Virginia. So he listened to it to and from trivia in Virginia. And he said, I almost thought I had to pull over. I was laughing so hard. Because you guys are trying to name what villain I would potentially be attracted to. And you kept like, Bowser. Like, no, I'm not into Bowser.
It's 304. There we go.
304. Thank you.
If we were ranking the Hemsworths by density.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'll put a link in the show notes. Everyone can go back and listen to us stoned out of our gourds.
I remember we took the edibles before dinner.
Yes.
And
by the time
dinner.
Dessert rolled around, they'd hit. And I was like, this is the greatest chocolate cake I've put in my mouth.
Mm-mm-mm. I remember standing up and we're walking to your room. And I'm like, I probably look normal to everyone else, but I feel like I'm walking like that, like Monty Python skit where they're like all
forgotten
legs.
How to walk.
That's
like, can everyone tell that I'm stoned out of my gourd right now? That was one of the first times I'd gotten high on edibles, and it was an experience.
I think it was the first time I had gotten high on edibles for sure.
Yep.
But yeah, it was wild, but like doing just weird, crazy stuff.
And it was a vacation about books. Like RT was like a vacation about books. And I miss that. The other thing I miss about RT was, so they had sessions about like craft and writing. And you could go to a session about building worlds in urban fantasy. And it would be like Charlaine Harris and Janine Frost and all these really big names talking about world building. And then there were like games. I was bingo caller one year where if you won bingo, the authors who were sponsoring the game would have you read aloud a sex scene from one of their books in order to claim their prize, claim your prize. And so like we shut the door, like we were make like, okay, this is just, and every time I called 069, the whole room would cheer. I loved the games, like whether it was like a crossword or bingo, something where everyone could play a game and win prizes. Because that's the other thing. You are going to go home with stuff. There was lots serious stuff. Swag and bookmarks. And
I still have swag.
Oh, me too.
That I use
it all the time. Clip chips. I have a little lid for cat and dog food from Linda Lale Miller.
That's in the fridge right now. A heart-shaped like bottle opener. And that was on my keychain for the longest time.
The best swag that I have is something that I only got like the very end of the conferences. Farah Rashan did a measuring spoon where the top is a tablespoon and a teaspoon, and then you flip it over and it's a half teaspoon and a quarter teaspoon. So it's like one unit. I've traveled with it if I was like going to a condo or something. It was amazing. It says on the handle, I think it's like just the right amount of spice, farahrashan.com. It is the best piece of swag.
I mean, like I have still like a million pens and post-its, but I've gotten like nail files and like little flashlights and stuff that are like really handy.
Or pens that have flashlights on them. I love those. I travel with those.
And I do miss like, tangential to like the games, like we got to a point where we were hosting events and we did the big recommendation party.
That was so fun. And that was when I would have a mic and each of us would come with Rex, and I was like Phil Donahue. I would run around the room and I'd be like, okay, tell us about a book you want to recommend. And someone stood up and went, it's a series that's like Harry Potter with sex magic. And the whole room went, oh. And then at the end, because everyone was adding books to their Goodreads queues and putting things in their Amazon carts, when you pulled up one of those books on Amazon, all of the other recommends were books from that session. So we like screwed with the algorithm for a solid 4 hours. It was great.
And if you
fun.
Gave a recommendation, we brought like a bunch of arcs to give away. We had like journals.
The swag you got for coming was a notebook to write down all the recommendations, but it had a cover that was like Smart Bitches Recommends and then the name of the site. Once upon a time, I was pretty good at swag. I was pretty good at it.
But I miss like, you know.
I miss book people.
Meeting the community. I remember the one time someone recognized my voice.
Isn't that wild?
From the podcast.
Isn't that wild?
Or like after one of the recommends, someone had all of us sign their copy of Outlander.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I'd forgotten about that.
I think it was Outlander.
I didn't write this, but that's what I miss for sure.
I like some of the events I didn't really like care about, like, you know, the late night parties that went until like 11:30, 12 o'clock. But
who are you,
I think
me?
We talked about that. I know. We've talked about this on previous podcasts of like, I'm an extroverted introvert. Mm-hmm. So I'll go out for a couple hours, go to the things I want to see, talk to people, have meetings with publishing people, catch up. That's one thing I miss too, is like publicists. That was the only time that I saw them face to face. And I definitely miss seeing all of them because they were a lot of fun. But then I'd go back to my room and take a nap at like 2 p.m.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I'd rally for dinner and then there we go. Bed.
Oh, yeah. And there were multiple evenings, especially at RT, there would be evenings where there would be a full ball with dinner and costumes and a theme and dessert. And Heather Graham's family would put on a show. And one year in Pittsburgh, they hung somebody on stage with like tripwires and everything. It was serious business. And then RWA was like the end of the summer. And because that was sort of a business conference, except that a lot of the people who were there to do business, I was also friends with. I missed that part too. Like I remember when I resigned my membership at RWA, I realized wow, there are people who I would see there who I am probably never going to see again. And that made me so sad.
Yeah. I mean, some people we still like have Zoom cocktails with, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. But it's like levels of friendship, right? Like I saw somebody and I would have a drink with them at RWA, I'm not sure that I would be like, hey, do you want to hang out just us on Zoom?
Yeah. Or like, I'm in your neck of the woods. Do you want to like get lunch or something?
Yeah.
But like serendipity, you're both there at the same place.
Yes.
For the same reason, i.e. books. You're like, why not hang out?
Yeah. And both of those conferences, until like the last few, like I'd say the last 2 or 3 years, there were a lot of books. Like every publisher would have a book signing at RWA. Which I never quite understood, because they would make a point of saying before the conference, RWA is not for readers. Book Con and RT and whatever it was later, Book Lovers Con, whatever, those are for readers. Yeah. This is not for readers. But they would have book signings where you would get to meet a certain publisher's authors, and you would go in and they would sign books and you didn't have to pay for them. If you got into like the Berkeley book signing, you could get like the latest J.C. Burton book, or you could meet Nalini Singh if she was in from New Zealand. So there was still an element of, I think I would call it fandom. There was still a fandom element. It was, I think, resting on the idea that future romance authors are almost always romance readers, which makes sense. But I think it was a mixed message to say, this isn't for readers, but, we're going to do reader signings. The thing about those signings is that you didn't pay for the books. So if an author was coming and they had books, they sometimes had books just for their publisher signings. And then for the big literacy signing or the big book signing at RT, those were books you paid for. And that was, do you remember how big those ballrooms were?
Huge. They would have everyone set up alphabetically.
Yeah.
And I remember you would always be by the Jay Wells.
Yes. I would be by, sometimes I was by Jay Wells, sometimes I was by Lauren Willig, and sometimes I was by another author whose name I don't remember. But I was in the W's. We had lots of air conditioning.
Yeah, I remember one time, like, was it Tamara Pierce was at one of them, and people were losing their minds.
One of the early RTs I remember was Z Brewer. I met a young girl who was like head to toe cost. She might have been 9 or 10, no more than 10. And she had driven hours with her mother because the only person she wanted to meet was Z Brewer. The little girl couldn't find the table, even though it was B. And I said, it's in the front, but it's all the way to the left. So I bring this girl and her mom over, and she is just about, this girl was levitating. She was so excited to meet Z Brewer. Like, she was above the ground. She was incredibly, incredibly like blown away. That was one of the first years that they had a lot of YA authors. And I saw so many young people, like you said, just absolutely losing their shit to meet authors. And I had not seen that before.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been to really any of the current iterations that's happening. Like, I've never been to a PolyCon. Didn't one just happen, or one is happening this year?
Yes, there is a new one. Steamy Lit Con.
That's what it is.
Yeah, 18th and 19th of August in Anaheim. Yeah.
There's one in New England that happens in the fall called Fall in Love New England.
Yeah, that's the New England Romance Writers, right?
I think so, but they might have like divorced themselves. But I never go because it's like, last I looked, you had to like drive to go, and I don't have access to
far. Right. Yeah.
So like, I've never attended. But I know that happens every year and has a pretty good turnout. I know my former book club members usually go, at least a few of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the ones that are happening, just from like a cursory glance, nowhere near on the level of an RT.
And RT was a community that took years and years to build and was based on a magazine.
Yeah.
It's a completely
I always forget that it's based on a magazine.
Yeah. If you find old issues on eBay, they are fun to read. That was the other thing. I would get like free issues of RT Magazine at the conference, and I would have the best time reading them because they never gave 5 stars. There's only 4, 3, 2, and 1, but the 1-star reviews, especially of like love inspired titles, were brutal. Like people think we're mean.
No.
1-star in RT was, that was a devastating experience. But yeah, I have not wanted to go to a large gathering of people since the pandemic. I was inside in a crowded space and I was like nervous because my face was uncovered and it was walls, but no ceiling. And I was still like, oh, this is a lot of humans and there's walls. I should have a mask on. Like, I'm not really sure that I'm ready to go to a conference, but I do miss them. You know, I do miss them.
Yeah.
I don't know if we'll ever see a conference like RT again. And it's sad because like, I had so many weird stories from RT. Like one year RT was in New Orleans and they had a bar crawl. Like they booked different bars on Bourbon Street and you went from bar to bar and each publisher was at a bar. And then you found out early on, like which publishers had gotten food and which ones had not. So you went to the ones with food first. But there was a pub crawl on Bourbon Street with like Avon in one place and Penguin in another place. This was before the merger. So Random House was down the street. And I'm walking down Bourbon Street and I pass Charlene Harris just walking over to the bar.
I mean,
crawl.
If you're going to run into her anywhere.
That's where, right? And I'm like, I had to stop on the street and be like, I just walked past Charlene Harris on Bourbon Street going to a pub crawl about books. What is this? And I don't see that. I don't think that's possible anymore, especially because if you remember, by the end, RT was a week. Like, because they had the stuff on Tuesday, they had stuff on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday departure. You were flying in Sunday to Sunday. Like it was a week of stuff. Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, I do miss like FaceTime with authors, like Maria Vale, for example.
Yeah.
I remember attending Book Lovers Con in New Orleans. Was it the first one? And I remember Maria and I grabbed coffee at like the Starbucks or whatever. And she was telling me about this book idea. God, when was that Book Lovers Con? She was telling me about this book idea that she had. And I thought it sounded so good. But she literally, it just came out. It was Molly Malloy and the Angel of Death.
Oh, that's latest so book. Cool.
And I'm like, I remember you telling me about this idea you had, like, what, 5 years ago?
Oh, my God.
Maybe even more. And now, like,
that's amazing.
It's out in the world. I was like, that's really cool.
And you, when you went to these conferences year to year, you would see trends rise and fall. Like, first RT was paranormal all the way down. Urban fantasy, right. So much paranormal, shifters, vampires, shifters, vampires, werewolves, urban fantasy belt, leather pants. Like it was all paranormal. And then it started to shift toward romance, contemporary romance and erotic romance, especially as Alora's Cave and Sam Hain and Lucid and all of the other presses, most of which don't exist anymore, started publishing explicitly erotic romance. So then we saw vampires, werewolves, and sexy times, like mad sexy times. And then, of course, arrived 50 Shades and then that whole BDSM craze. But you got to watch trends, you know, just going by the elevator man titty alone, you could trace the trends year to year.
For sure.
Because you would be seeing, this is what a publisher is spending marketing money on. this is where they're gonna buy the window clings. They're gonna put a big poster up on the wall.
It feels almost like a fever dream, you know?
It really does. Like if you tried to tell somebody about it, they'd be like, I'm sorry, you what now?
Yeah. And it feels like a fever dream. It's like, oh yeah, I attended a work conference and then I wrote a mechanical bull.
I went to a dispensary and yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. 1 year, I remember RWA was, because it was contractually required to be in New York, I think once every 4 years. 1 year.
That's the only one I ever attended was like a New York one.
1 year, Avon rented out the, I think it was the boathouse in Central Park for their publisher party.
Oh my God.
It was gorgeous. It was so beautiful. But I ended up in a bicycle cab. I ended up in a bicycle cab because there was traffic, because it was rush hour. And I don't remember the third person, but it was definitely Kristen Nelson, the agent. And me and one other person were all trying to get there at the same time. And a bicycle cab guy was like, I can get you there in this much time for this much money. We were like, done. And this guy had calves and quads like you have never seen in your life. But that man got us all the way up to Central Park from the Marriott very quickly.
Good for him.
And I thought we were going to die because sometimes he was going against traffic. I did think our life was in danger because we were really headed directly into Lexington Avenue traffic. But, you know, that's the kind of thing that happens where it's not going to happen anywhere else.
No. I remember the RWA we attended together. We both had like uncomfy shoes. And so we walked down to the Old Navy and got like flats.
Oh, yeah. I still have the hoodie I bought. The zipper broke and I wear it all the time. It's the official hoodie of working. I got it at the Old Navy across from RWA.
Yeah. I remember it was like, these shoes are uncomfy. And then I went and got better shoes at the gigantic Old Navy.
Conveniently located across the street. The other thing was how good I got at going to conferences. Like, I never went to breakfast in the conference unless I had a breakfast meeting because the line would be out the door. And if there was a Starbucks in the hotel, the line would be out the door. But if you had the mobile app, you could place an order at a Starbucks like a block away. And by the time you got there, your order was ready and then you could just come on back.
Yeah. I think that's what I did in Atlanta.
Yeah.
There was one like a block away.
Yeah. I miss it. And it's weird because I have such very, very specific, clear memories of going to conferences, but sometimes I cannot remember which one it was. Like I've met people at conferences and I'm like, I don't know where I met you because it was at a hotel. So you and I met somewhere very beige. It was very beige and nondescript in the background. But I remember like, for example, halfway between the hotel and the conference center at the Rio, which was hell, there was a Starbucks. And so people would sort of land there because they needed a break. And there was a reader gathering of something. I mean, it might've been a Facebook group gathering. That was where I learned about the Call of Crows series because the second book had come out and two people
were... Yeah, and you would not like stop talking about that book the entire time we were there. I think like you...
I read it while I was at the conference and I was like, does everyone know about this but me? And the people who told me about it were like, no, it's so good. Oh my God, it's so good. The second one's even better. Oh my God. And I was like, oh, okay. And I started reading it that day.
I remember it was the Las Vegas one. I remember we were going to have like a site dinner and we're like, yeah, we can totally go. You were humoring me and we're like, we can go to the Guy Fieri restaurant in the hotel. And it was closed for some reason. And then
his picture was everywhere. You could follow the hotel, like follow your way around by like following Guy Fieri pictures.
And then we went to dinner somewhere offsite at another hotel. And I had made the comment of like, I've always wanted to say, we'll take one of each from the menu, please.
From the dessert menu.
From the dessert menu.
Yep.
And then we were running late to come back to like this event at the, hotel. Mm-hmm. And I was really bummed because it was like one of the few Cressley Cole events that she was there.
Yeah.
So we got there and they're kind of taking things apart. Like it's done.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting with Kristen Dwyer and Cressley Cole and her agent or no, her editor. Mm-hmm. Is it Lauren? Lauren, something like that. Sit down next to us.
Yep.
And I'm like, freaking out. And I'm like, I wanted her to sign something and I had nothing to sign. So I think we just grabbed one of the like random poker chips that they had as decor on the tables.
Yep.
And I literally have a poker chip that says KC that she signed in Sharpie on.
That's so cool. Because
that's the only thing I could find.
Is that the author that you remember meeting and just being like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God?
Kind of.
Yeah.
Christina Lauren's another one when they found my house keys.
I remember that because you had Twitter. A Florida keychain. They're like, oh, this has to be Amanda. It says Florida on it.
Yeah, it's Florida State Seminoles. I have an FSU keychain. And I had just gone to their table and it probably fell out of my bag.
Yep. And then, I think they posted on Twitter or Instagram, Amanda, we have your keys.
Please meet us by the blah, blah, blah.
I don't know which signing it was.
That was another one.
The last signing I'd ever did, I don't remember what conference it was. But you know what? It might have been Book Lovers Con. It might have been one of the first Book Lovers Con. They were at an end table around the room. And I was, of course, in the W's. So I'm in like my own, like got my own row. And it was kind of empty. Like there wasn't a lot of foot traffic. And so Lauren was firing rubber bands at me across the aisle. And I ended up getting a package a couple months later. And it was a rubber band ball with a little note that says, I'm ready for a rematch. I still have it. I have the ball and I have the note taped to my closet door.
They're always a fun time whenever we can meet up for sure.
There was a time when if I saw Nora Roberts and her crew in the bar, she would be like, Sarah, get over here. Because, you know, she's got that little rah, 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 voice. And I was like, oh, you know, okay. So I'm like, cool. But inside my inner 13-year-old is like, holy shit, holy shit, holy shit. Like I would get in the elevator. I'd be like, okay, well, you know, that's somebody whose books I've read. There's always a part of me that's just like, holy crap. Talking to Kresley Cole, talking to Charlene Harris, talking to Nora Roberts. Oh my God. I miss that.
I do too.
I think my ideal romance conference would probably be a lot of readers and authors who also want to come and talk about being readers. Like some of my favorite podcast episodes are when I have an author on and then we start talking about what they're reading and what they love to read. Like the whole episode I did last week, I think, with KJ Charles, which was all about her comfort reading the Blessing
Beverly
series.
Beverly Jenkins, yeah.
And Beverly Jenkins. And we start to break down what works as a comfort read for us, because that's a topic she's been talking about online for a while in the past few months, because, you know, it's always needed. And I remember thinking it's really fun to talk to authors about what they're reading. And it's not always easy for authors to do that, because sometimes they can't necessarily talk about what they're reading. Either it's not published yet or they're blurbing something and they're not sure they're going to blurb it or whatever. But I think the ideal conference for me would be a lot of readers and a lot of food and a bar.
I feel like you and I probably prefer the same events. So like a cozier sort of cozy instead of party, right?
Like yes, cozy instead of party for sure. But a lot of games. Like I would love to do, I still think about putting together a romance bar trivia night. I think that would be so fun. The thing I see more authors doing now, the thing that seems to be surviving in terms of book gatherings is book festivals. That's the thing I see the most in terms of author panels and reader gatherings is at book festivals. And if you've got a book festival in a nice, like in a nice climate, that can be really fun.
Yeah. I know Boston Book Fest started doing more romance programming. I helped with last year's. So hopefully there'll be more this year. But I know like LA Festival of Books is more romance.
Brooklyn
like,
Book I Festival. Know- Tucson.
Jess Pride of Book Riot, I know, does some moderating.
Yeah, she's in Tucson. I think she's majorly involved in the Tucson Book Festival.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's nice to see some of that, like, still trying to be kept alive.
And the Baltimore Book Festival almost always has a sizable romance tent, and I've been to it a couple of times. One time I went, and I happened to mention on Twitter, oh, I'm going over to Baltimore. And somebody said, I read your tweet and I put on pants and came over. And I was like, you put on pants? What? no, why would you put on? No. They're like, no, I had to, I had to come and thank you for the website. I had to come and meet you. I'm like, put on pants for me. I'm honored. So yeah, that's what I want. I want to do an event where if you put on pants, they're very soft pants.
Yeah. Sweatpants.
Sweatpants, yoga pants.
A jogger.
Yeah. You know, something with deep pockets for your phone and a battery because you're going to, you know, social media a lot. So what are you reading? Any books you want to mention?
So my new emotional support book.
That you carry on the bus to and from.
That I carry around with me. I saw a tweet about this and I can't remember who tweeted it or even what it said at this point.
Right.
But it's a sci-fi novel with, it sounds like a romance plot or subplot. I don't know. Because like I said, I just carry it around with me. I don't actually read it. It's called The Blighted Stars by Megan E. O'Keefe.
Ooh. Wow.
But yeah, I think Ryan and I got breakfast in Brookline, which is not our neck of the woods. And then we were going to check out this new store called Teehee Boston, which is like a kawaii Hello Kitty store. But if you're in New England, if you're in the Boston area, Brookline has an amazing bookstore called the Brookline Booksmith.
Ooh, that's they've a recently, good name.
I know. They have a used bookstore section downstairs, books up top, and they've expanded to have more of like a gift shop stuff. Their kitchen section is amazing. But I was like, while we're in the area, why don't I see if they have this on their shelf? And they did. So I bought it. But a spy is stranded on a dead planet with her mortal enemy.
Oh, that's all of your thing.
Yeah. Ticks check, a lot of boxes.
Tick, 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 tick. Yep. That's an so Amanda that is Bate my book.
My new emotional support book that I've been carrying with me everywhere. I take it out of my bag and bring it up to the nightstand and then there it sits. And then I bring it with me and I put it in my bag when I go to work. And
it's my emotional
I literally
support
just
book.
Put it in one place.
Is this like the cube in Portal?
Yeah, just take it with me in case I might need it. But
right, you might need it. Of course, that makes sense.
Yeah, or will I just look at Instagram the entire commute on my way to work?
Which is also an option.
But that is my new emotional support book.
I read A Most Agreeable Murder by Julia Seals, and I have a review in progress. This was part of What You're Reading.
I cut your thoughts down
into
What You're Reading just to save some stuff for the review.
Always fine. I figured you would. This book is unhinged. This book is so silly. Like, I would turn the page and be like, am I high or is the book making me feel like I've lost
connection? I think the quote you used was like, I feel like an 8-year-old trying to tell their parents the dream they had last night.
Yes, that is exactly how you feel when trying to describe this book. And nothing is connected. Everything is bonkers. But at the same time, I can tell that it was written by somebody who's very familiar with Jane Austen and the Brontes and romance and mysteries. And
seems like a yes and sort of book.
It is very much a yes and
what
sort
if we
of
put
book.
This in? Yes. And
yes, let's have a side character whose personality is she's jealous and beautiful, but part of her role in the community is to announce the color of the year. No discussion, that's just dropped in there. And then later on, you find out what the color of the year is. And I'm like, this is absolutely bonkers.
Is she like, what is it like pretty ceremonious, like Willy Wonka, like walking out?
There's a ball. And yeah, seriously, I'm going to try to review this book and people are going to be like, are you okay? Are you all right? I was reading it while a sizable portion of my brain was like, what is happening right now? Does anyone else know what's happening? Because we don't know.
I mean,
what's
that's
happening.
How I feel about the Gideon the Night, the Locked Tomb series.
Yes. That reminded me a lot of my interview with you and AJ because AJ was like, magic, how it works? Who cares?
Like, I don't know what's going on, but I'm happy to be here.
Yes, like, that is exactly. And it's a very specific flavor of bonkers, right? Like, it's not just, you know, Scottish lass who knows how to fence and cures diseases and births, you know, can help with veterinary births or whatever. It's not like this incredibly super perfection bonkers. Oh, and then there's a highwayman and we're going to rob a bank or whatever. This is just a handful of characters, completely silly.
And that brings us to the end of this week's episode. Thank you to Amanda for hanging out with me. I will link to all of the past episodes we talked about, including the one where we were baked out of our gourds, and all of the other things we mentioned, including a Polycon, the Brookline Booksmith, and I found a link to some older episodes of the RT magazine on eBay, if you would like to take a look at what that was. They had a lot in them. That was a girthy magazine. Girthy. I always end with a bad joke, and I would never leave you hanging. This joke is from our Patreon Discord, and it is from Brawler. Are you ready? All right. What's the opposite of formaldehyde? Give up? What's the opposite of formaldehyde? Casual dejekyll. That might be one of the jokes that you might need to see in order to fully appreciate, but casual dejekyll is cracking me up. Thank you, Brawler. On behalf of everyone here, we wish you the very best of reading. Have a wonderful weekend, and we will see you back here next week. Smart Podcast Trashy Books is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. You can find more outstanding podcasts to subscribe to at frolic.media/podcasts.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.